Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
Mark chapter 5. Say, I got it if you got it. Amen. Starting in verse 1. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. And when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. And with a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." And then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." And then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." And so Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, and he was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Amen. You know, I love this passage. I read this passage often. I know it's a little bit obscure of a passage, but I've read it and I just love it. And immediately when I read it, and it says, "And Jesus climbed out of the boat." So there seems like a chill just goes through me, even when just that line in the second verse. Jesus climbed out of the boat. And when he stepped on the land in the region of the Gerasenes, the region, the enemy of that land, of that region, knew he was there. He knew that Jesus had done stepped into his territory. And he knew it. Jesus was, it says, he was still some distance away. But yet the legion of demons, the man possessed with the evil spirits, knew he was there. And they came running to him. Because, you know, there's something about when you show up and Jesus is on your side. I want you to know that even if you don't know, your enemy knows that Jesus is on your side and you have showed up. You need to understand that when you step out in authority, that the enemy knows that you're there. Sometimes I don't think we understand what we got, but the enemy sure knows. And the enemy came running to Jesus. He came to him when he was far away, still some distance away. And he came to him, and guess what he said? "In the name of the Most High," the enemy, the devil, the legion of demons says, "In the name of the Most High God, we beg you, don't interfere with us." I'm going to tell you, the enemy doesn't want you interfering in his business. The enemy doesn't want you interfering in his business. He'll beg you to leave him alone. Come on, somebody. One person got excited. I said the enemy knows what you got, and he'll beg you to leave him alone when you show up on the scene. And it's time that we understand that we're showing up in the region of Nelson County in Bardstown. And the enemy already knows we're here. And he said, hey, just leave me alone, Faith Worship Center. I beg you. He's going to beg you to get out of here. All you got to do is show up knowing. Woo! Jesus stepped out of the boat. He stepped out of the boat. I want to let you know there's no substitute for authority. There's no substitute for authority. Because when Jesus showed up, they knew he was there. They knew he was there. I want to let you know, I'm putting every enemy, every evil spirit, every sickness, every devil on notice today. Come on, Jesus is here. He's done showed up. It's time you understand that he is here. Amen? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You got to put him on notice. You got to put him on notice today. Most people don't know that they have authority. You haven't tapped into your authority yet, church. But when you tap into your authority, oh, the enemy, he don't know what to do. He don't know what to do with you. All you got to do today is tap into that authority. You know, one time I was on a trip with Brandon, Gary and Helen's son. We went on a trip together, a guy's trip, and we rented a Ferrari. And we were all taking turns driving the Ferrari. And when I got in the Ferrari, Brandon had already driven it a little bit, and he said, it's pretty not impressive. I said, really? He said, yeah, it's not very fast. It just doesn't have any power. I said, that's strange. It's a Ferrari. So we go driving it around, and I pull over into a parking lot. And I just began to look around that car, Gordon. Got to be something we're missing. And I looked around, and I saw this little button. We were on touring mode. And I flipped the switch. And I looked over at Brandon, and I said, hold on. He said, what'd you do? I said, I don't know yet. And I stomped it, and that car did a 180. Whoop! And I smacked the gear, and we came back around. And I smacked the gear, and we took off down the road. And I was like, I found the power! Because I learned to tap into something. But the church has been on touring mode. The church has been on touring mode. We haven't learned that we can tap in to the power. Woo! Today we're going to learn how to tap into the power. Matthew chapter 12, verses 28 and 30 says, but if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. Somebody say, the kingdom of God has arrived. For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. He first lets you know, I got the power. I can tie up the strong man. But this isn't about power. This isn't about being just stronger than someone else. Because how many of you ever known, if you've ever been a bully, there's always a bigger bully. It ain't about just having power. We're not here today seeking more power. We're here today to understand we have authority. Because there's no substitute for authority. Someone can always be more powerful in the natural. Oh, but I got authority. And he goes a step further and he even tells us that if you're not with him, you're against him. He even tells the church, if you're not working for me, you're working against me. How many people that call themselves Christians, how many churches are working against God because they're not working for Him. We got to work for God. We got to work for Him. So we got to do what He's called us to do. That's to understand what He's given us, right? There's a quote that says, authority and power are two different things. Power is the force by means of which you can oblige others. You can oblige others to obey you. But authority is the right to direct and command to be listened to or obeyed by others. Because authority requests power, but power without authority is tyranny. Too many people seek power because they want to have control over someone. They want to have control over a situation. Too many people want power in their home to control their children, to control their wife. I'm the authority figure of this house. You want power. You don't want authority. But there's something different about authority. Authority requests the power, but power alone without authority is tyranny. We see that all over the world. We see that all over the world. But we've got it so messed up that we want power and don't realize that we don't need more power because we got the authority. But God's not looking for those that are just bystanders anymore. There's no room for bystanders. There's no room for a church that wants to sit idly by and watch what's happening in the world. There's no room for Christians that want to sit and watch what's happening in our school systems. There's no room for bystanders that want to sit and let their households be taken over by the enemy and falling apart. There's no room for bystanders anymore. It's time we understand that we have the authority to be authority takers and not bystanders. We have to take authority. Say, I'm taking authority. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority. Say all. All authority in heaven and on earth. He has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. There's no substitute for authority. What we got to understand, what's important for you to get today, is that He's given that authority to you. He's given it to His people. He's given it to His children. It was an inheritance that we received. In Luke chapter 10, verses 18 through 19, it says, yes, He told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Say all. All the power of the enemy, so you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Jesus is telling us, I didn't give you power over power. I gave you authority over power. Oh, that's something different. He didn't just make us stronger than the next one. I mean, He walked up to a legion of demons, and He didn't need to be more powerful than them. He just took authority over them. Man, they begged Him, don't use your authority. They begged Him in the name of the Most High God because they knew He had the authority. They weren't worried about His power. They were just worried about His authority because at His command, come out, you evil spirit, they had to obey. Do you realize you have that much authority over the enemy? You have that much authority over the enemy that at your voice, with the name of Jesus, that they have to obey. Because you have power and authority over the enemy. Amen? One time I was in a place I shouldn't have been. I'll start the story that way. A long time ago. And a fight broke out. And this fight breaks out. And this guy was big, bad dude. He was strong. And I mean, just built like this, his neck was this wide, and he gets in a fight, and he's literally picking people up, throwing them over top of cars. and I'm an old boy's bed. You know? How many of you all of a sudden the light bulb goes off? I'm probably in the wrong place, you know? Just me. Okay, thank y'all. But I realize it's not a good place, but this guy's just tossing people left and right and just whooping this dude. And here these two cops come, and they come running up to this guy, and he's on top of this guy, and he's just giving him the what for. And these two cops come up, pull out their tasers, tell him to stop. He gave him no mind. So they popped him with that taser, and it did absolutely nothing. He just keeps on swinging, and they're bap, 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 hitting it with that taser. He reaches back and yanks him right out of his back. Don't even faze him. And he's just going to town, and these two cops are grabbing and pulling, and nothing's happening. And then this other officer shows up. Big, bad Bill Buckman. Some of you in Barstown may know Officer Buckman, who's no longer with us. But Officer Buckman comes strolling up, no hurry in his step at all, watching these two guys do nothing. These two officers do nothing to this guy who's just getting plummeted. And he walks up and he grabs the two officers on their shoulder and he lifts them up and he calls the guy by name and says, "Sit down." And the guy stood up and walked over and sat down. He didn't have to worry about power because that guy on the ground knew something about that guy's authority. I know who he is, and at his voice, I'm going to get up and listen to what he told me to do. There's something about authority. I'm telling you, when I grew up in church, when I grew up, you know, there was something I understood about the words, "Wait till we get home." That meant something that it does different than it does to you now. I think you think you're getting ice cream. Just wait till we get home. Oh, I get ice cream. Yay. No, I wasn't getting ice cream. When I got told, "Wait till we get home," I was getting a butt whooping. I didn't have to get afraid, and I didn't have to start begging and pleading because authority done spoke. You understand what I'm saying? Authority done spoke. It was happening regardless. Matter of fact, it was happening regardless how good I was the rest of the day. Because I was a daggone angel the rest of the day. I got told one time, "Wait till we get home," at about 11 o'clock in the morning one day. And when we went to church, y'all couldn't have handled it. When we went to church, we left the house at like 7:30 a.m. and we'd get home about 9 p.m. All right? Y'all couldn't handle that kind of church stuff. You know? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But we would go to church that long. I got told, "Wait till we get home," at 11 o'clock. One day, by 9 o'clock, I mean, come on, I was really good for 8 hours. You know, I deserve some credit. That back door opened, I stepped in that back door, I didn't get 2 feet, and followed behind it was a whop to right to my rear end. What? What was that for? You know what that's for, I know what that's for. Authority spoke. Most people don't understand what authority is anymore. How do I know? I see your kids. How do I know? I see your household. Do you realize you have authority? You have authority. Authority's got to start right there. Got to start right there. You have authority over your kids. You have authority over your home. My dad told us certain things won't enter his home. It was his home, and he had authority. Got quiet. Whew. You didn't want him coming over to visit. He'd look right at you and smile as he broke something of yours that wasn't supposed to be in his home. Yeah, because it was his home. He had authority. You got to understand something about authority. But if you can't take authority in your home, if you can't take authority in your life, how can you take it over the enemy? How can you take it over the enemy? How can you take it when you get a report from the doctor? How can you take it when the enemy is tormenting your kids? The devil's coming after you. You got to take authority over him. Because he says, I have given you all authority over the power of the enemy. Ephesians verse 1, chapter 1, verse 19 and 23. It says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. For us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things, say all things, under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ who fills all things everywhere with himself. See, what we have is we have authority to access the power of Almighty God. He's got the power over all things. And we have the authority to access that power. There's no substitute for authority. People try to substitute all the time for authority. But we don't have to. We have to realize that God has got authority over all things. And he's got power over all things. He can enter the house of the strong man and tie him up. He can plunder what he's taken. We used to sing an old song. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Because you can take back what the enemy stole from you when you understand you have authority to do so. When you have authority to do so, you can say, give it back to me. And he has to give it back because you have authority. He's just hoping. He's even using the name of God to please beg you not to even use your authority. But we cower back. We just want to say, I'm going to ask you nicely. Can you please return my goods? Can you please return what you stole from me? I'd like my health back. If you don't mind, if it's not too much of a bother. That's the way we act. It's the way the church acts. We act like, that if it doesn't bother you too much, Mr. Legion of devils, but he's just begging you. He's begging you to leave him alone. The enemy doesn't want this church in Nelson County. They've told you that for 29 years. I think you're a little overdramatic. But I'm telling you, you don't realize the attacks of the enemy. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of the and strongholds of the enemy. That's what we're fighting against. But the good news is we got authority over him. I said we got authority over him. You can tell him to get under your feet. You can tell him to get under your feet. There was a world leader, Herman Kahn, that said their authority is not power. That's coercion. Authority is not knowledge. That's persuasion or seduction. Authority is simply that the author has the right to make a statement and be heard. And I think we know the author. And we know the finisher. So he has a right to be heard. His word will go forth and it will produce good things. It will produce good fruit. Why? Because he's the author and the author has authority. Too many people have tried to substitute authority for knowledge. Well, let me talk a good game and let me tell you how much theology I've got. I don't want to burst anyone's bubble. But 29 years, your former pastor and your current pastor, neither one of us have a seminary degree. The mass exodus of the church runs out. Because it's not knowledge that gives us authority. It's not some book or some piece of paper that someone hangs on a wall that says, now you have a right to tell people about Jesus. Do you understand? It is knowing you have the authority that was given to you by the Word of God. And He's no respecter of person. That means you have the same authority that I have. You just got to tap into it. The only difference in maybe you and maybe me or apostle is learning to tap into it. I remember asking my parents how to tap into authority. And I said to them one time, hey, you know, because I tell you what, they're not afraid to roll up their sleeves and cast out no devil. So I asked them, hey, if I get encountered with this, what do I do? He said, take authority. He said, too many people want to have a conversation with the enemy. He said, too many people want to sit and talk to the evil spirit. He said, tell it to shut up. That's what he told me. That's what he told me. And I remembered I could do that because I had authority over the power of the enemy. And one time I walked into a situation, we were in Ecuador, and a young 15-year-old girl was possessed by an evil spirit. And I walked in and four people were holding her down on the bed, eyes black as could be. And I walked in and I said, come over. I came over. I walked into the situation. They're holding her down and they're all, Jesus, Jesus, you know. And I came in like a police officer, clearing bodies, get out of the way. And I took authority over that thing. And I said, I speak to you, foul spirit, in the name of Jesus, to shut up and come out. Because we have that authority and power. We have to understand how to use it. Philippians chapter 2, 9 and 11. It says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How do we use the authority? At the name of Jesus. We have to understand that we use it by accessing the name of Jesus. He's already defeated the enemy. He's already took the keys to death and hell. He's seated at the right hand of God in heaven. And he says, now I've given you the authority to do what you got to do here on earth. Whatever you bind, whatever you loose. Well, I just don't know what that means. Well, you better get an understanding. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. John chapter 14. 13 and 14 says, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. That's the purpose of our authority, is to bring glory to the Father. Too many people want to use their authority to build up their power so they get a glory, so they get a recognition, so they get the next big meeting. But we have to understand that it is so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. When we use the authority properly, how God has taught us and instructed us and commanded us, then we understand that we have it over the enemy. Over the enemy. We try to exercise our authority over people. We want to control people. We want to control situations. But the authority that he's given us is over the enemy. That's why the church has got it so messed up when people come in and are tied up in a wealth of sin. They think they got to deal with the person. You got to deal with the spirit. People are all worried about those tied up in a life of homosexuality. It's a demonic spirit that you got to deal with, not a person. We love people and we hate the enemy. Too many people. We got it wrong, church. Too many people see something bad happens, get a bad report from the doctor, someone dies, someone, and they get mad at God. You got to get mad at the devil. He came to steal and kill. But I don't understand why God would allow this. Forget about that. You got to take authority. It's not him allowing it. He's wondering, will you exercise your authority and power that you have over the enemy? That's what we have to find ourselves is, do we have it in us? I want you to know, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have authority in the name of Jesus. You know, when we perform a wedding for someone, we marry someone, we come and we say, by the power vested in me by the state of Kentucky. That's what we say. So it means the state of Kentucky has given us a legal authority to marry someone. That's what we say. Now I work for the state. I have a power vested in me, trusted in me, given to me over my old Kentucky home state park to do certain things at the park. I have that authority given to me, trusted to me. Many of you have that same power and authority in some positions that you have, and you exercise those. But what you have to know is that you've also been given authority over the power of the enemy. And that is all authority. That is all power. You got to understand, you got that access. When I walk in and say, by the power vested in me, I now pronounce you man and wife, da 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 da, and do the thing, you know, they think that marriage is real, right? They say we sign that piece of paper. It's legal. But yet, we come and we take authority over the enemy right here at the altar. And we walk away going, you think that's stuck? I mean, you think that's real? You didn't question it when we pronounced you man and wife. You trusted that power, that authority. Why not trust even more in the power and authority that's over all things? That's over all things. I want you to say that. Say, I have the power and authority over the enemy. There's no substitute for authority. Because there's only one King of Kings. There's only one great I am. There's only one beginning and end, and his name is Jesus. We got to get that in our spirit. We got to get that in our spirit. Authority is not power, it's a responsibility. And that responsibility is to the believer. That responsibility is to you. If you're sitting here today, you're watching online, you're listening to this message, I want you to know, if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, that authority has been given to you, and it is a responsibility to use it. You know, some people that take an oath when they're in the medical field, they have a responsibility to act if someone is in need of care. You have a responsibility as a believer to act. You have a responsibility as a believer to exercise your authority. You have to exercise that authority. But too many of us want to be those bystanders spoken of. But he said, if you're not working with me, you're working against me. Well, I'm really not going to get involved in that situation. That's an ugly one. You know, that's a touchy situation. But we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to this generation. Just as Jesus stepped out of the boat in the region, we got to step out of the boat in our region. We have a responsibility to this region. We have a responsibility to the young people and the youth of Nelson County. We have a responsibility for those that need to know Jesus. We have a responsibility to take authority over the enemy in our region. It's time that we take our responsibility and our authority seriously. Colossians, before I get there, I want you to know how you got that authority. I want you to know why it's your responsibility. Because, see, if you're sitting here, and one day someone asked you to place your hand over your heart and repeat this prayer after them, and you asked Jesus into your life, then you participated in the inheritance. You became a child, a son of God. And Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son." You've been transferred. And with that transfer came a transfer of authority, came a transfer of power, came a transfer of blessing, came a transfer of wealth. Oh, you got some things transferred. Are you excited? Are you going to take that transfer? If the bank calls and says there's been a transfer to your account, guess what? I'm going to go to the bank and check on that transfer. How much was transferred? Thank you very much. But we don't realize what's been transferred to us by the power of God. It's been transferred. Romans 5:17 says, "For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ." How are you going to live in triumph over sin and death if you don't take authority over it? It says we can live in triumph when you accept Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior and ask him into your heart. You receive this. This is for you. Righteousness is for you. And you no longer have to live with sin, with the enemy, with the power of darkness. You can triumph over it. I need you to know, you can triumph over death. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You can triumph over death. I remember when I was 18 and I wrecked my car. I've told you the story how I flipped down a cliff end over end as it was flipping down the cliff. And I took authority, and I said, "Okay, God, you can stop now." And that truck stopped and fell uphill. Uphill, against gravity. It didn't roll over one more time and leave me upside down. It flipped on all four wheels, and I could just step right out. I learned I had access to authority, and I had power over death. I have power over death. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What can we do with our authority? I'm going to close shortly because we're going to pray for people. But what can we do with our authority? What do we have authority to do? Because you got to know what you have authority to do. First thing, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We have authority to preach. You have authority to preach. It's not me that has authority to preach because I got a title named pastor. It's not apostle that's got authority to preach just because he has a title apostle. It said go. That means everyone. That means you. Go, it's a command. Go into the world and preach the gospel. So he's given us authority to preach. We got to use that authority. It says this, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. We have authority to cast out devils. It says they shall speak in new tongues, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We have authority to do those things. What do you have authority to do? You have authority to take over the power of the enemy, to cast out devils. Well, I don't want to go tell someone they got a devil. You know, people are afraid of what's going to happen. Whatever manifests. Well, take authority over it. Send it into the pigs. I don't know. They'll beg you what to do with them. If you know your authority. The believer is the one with the power and authority to do these things. The believer. You. If you're a believer, you have authority to do these things. That means if you can do these things, you can receive. You can receive this. You can receive your healing. You can receive the good report, not the bad report. Because you are a believer in Christ Jesus. We have authority. There's many things we have the authority to do. I'll stop on this one. We have authority to stand against Satan. Ephesians 4:27 says, don't give a foothold or place to the devil. Don't give a foothold or place to the devil. I want to tell you, don't give a foothold to the devil in your home. Don't give a place for the enemy in your home. Don't give a place for the enemy with your children. Don't give a foothold to the devil in your marriage. Don't give him a foothold. Don't give him a place. We give the devil room to operate. We allow him space to set up camp. But the Word of God says we can stand against the devil. We can stand against him and not give him a foothold. When he comes in and tries to plant his flag with a report from the doctor, ha, get out of here. I'm not giving you a foothold. I'm not giving you a place. When that doctor looked at me and told me I'd never run again, I wanted to punch him in his nose. But it wasn't him I was mad at. I was mad at the enemy. So I didn't punch the doctor, see? It was good. But I got mad. But I learned where to put my anger. And I told that devil, I will run and I won't limp. You won't stop me. You won't stop me. And I can run. And I don't limp. Because I took authority. I didn't give a foothold. I didn't give a place to the enemy. Because I have authority over him. I have authority. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. He's got different strategies for different people. He's going to attack you every which way. He's going to attack you with your kids. He's going to attack you with your health. He's going to attack you with your finances. He's going to attack you with your friends. He's going to attack every which way he can attack. But when you realize that you have authority to stand firm, you ain't worried about the attacks of the enemy. You tell him right where to send those attacks back to. Because you have authority over the power of the enemy, over the strategies of the enemy. We got to exercise, church, our authority. We got to exercise our authority. I tell you, this church will be absolutely unstoppable for the kingdom of God. If you got a hold, if 10 people would just get a hold, if 5 people would just get a hold, he's going back and saying, if I can find just 5 that would understand the authority, if I found 10, what could we do? One of us could put 1,000 to flight. 2 of us, 10,000. Imagine what 10 of us could do. Imagine what this church could do for this region, the region that we've been given, the region of Nelson County. What could we do We have authority over this region. The word of God has went forth, been spoken. That we have authority over this region. He's given us power over the airwaves, over the railways, everything. We have authority. We have to use our voice. Our people have to rise up and take authority over the enemy. Over the enemy. You have that authority. There's no substitute for it either. We can try all the other little gimmicks out there. But there's no gimmicks. There's no gimmicks. There's no special formula. There's no thing we got to do. We got to know we have it and exercise it in the name of Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.